Thank you very much, Andy. Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Great to see you here, and great to be among you. It's family where you feel the warmth of Father's love. And it's brilliant this morning to be able to focus on the fact that God has got a purpose for all of our lives, as we heard a little earlier. Maybe it's not the purpose we had imagined, but He takes hold of people and He puts them in the place where He wants them to be, as that Apostle Paul, Saul, the persecutor, from last week, he was put in his place by the God who had a purpose to put him in a place where he could communicate not destruction, but life. And we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 9, starting at the second part of verse 19. And Saul is here in person, and he's a changed man. He's a changed man. Causes all sorts of problems when your life gets turned upside down, doesn't it? People don't know what to expect. But when God is at work, there will be blessing. And so let's read to verse 31. Paul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night, lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him. Barnabas, son of encouragement, took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Amen. And thanks be to God. Well, now, we're going to look this morning at this area. Here's Jerusalem, down here at the bottom. And look, it's quite a journey, isn't it, to Damascus? It's breathing out threatenings. This man with his group, as we found last week, went all that way. Why? Because he hated Christians. He wanted to see them wiped off the face of the earth, rather like in China today. And when we look at this map, it may only be the size of Wales, but across that area, it says in the last verse here, there was peace and the gospel spread. It's a place where many people want to go and visit. But wouldn't it have been great to have been at that time when these things were happening and seeing the Holy Spirit at work in that area? So, let's look at this. Just imagine for a moment that you are sitting in the synagogue. I have sat in the synagogue in Northampton because we have Jewish friends, and we went to one of their family services, and I sat with the men with a hat on, and Margaret sat with the women over there, and had to be quiet, of course, no chattering while the men are worshipping. And what happened was they would begin to experience something they never thought would happen. They, into the synagogue came this terrifying figure. But he'd come to worship. Not because he was a Jew, but because now he knew Jesus was the Son of God, the Christ. And he had come to open up the scriptures and show them that this is the way. Now, join in the procession of pilgrimage. The Acts of the Apostles really should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because throughout this book, as we're discovering, there are various people who are involved, and some are not apostles. They're just ordinary Christians like you and me. But God is at work through the Holy Spirit in these people. And what did Paul say? I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. But here he is, centre stage, in the city of Damascus, or at the synagogue, standing up, the scriptures are read, and he said, Jesus is the Son of God. What? Jesus is the Christ. What? Who is this man who's come in? And in this we see Saul's transformation. He is a new creation in Christ. I love that song. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand, and I will praise you, Lord. And that's what Paul was going to be doing. Let's look at what changes took place. He was the persecutor who became the preacher. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. When Margaret's mum was dying, in our dining room we had a bed, and on the wall above her bed we had a text. I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? And our doctor, Bob, he came in and he spoke to her, and she looked at the text on the wall, and she said to Bob, I wish he'd do something for me. And so he was able to explain the gospel to her in the last moments of her life. Don't forget, if you're praying for somebody, never give up. You never know when God will answer, but he's hearing the prayer. And it's a case of patience, waiting for the answer. What else happened with Paul? He turned from destroying to being a disciple. He'd been a disciple once before, do you remember? Gamaliel, top professor of Hebrew and exegesis in the University of Jerusalem. And he'd sat at his feet and soaked up all that Jewish law, and he now knew so much. But of course, there was that missing jigsaw piece. The missing jigsaw piece was Jesus himself. That's where all the prophecies of the Old Testament. And so he was learning afresh. Who was he learning from? The Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that revealed to him the truth in the Old Testament that had become life in the present time for him. Yeah. What else? One more thing. Executioner to expositor. Now, what's an expositor? Ah, Sue didn't know, do you? No. Well, it's one of those words which means somebody who makes difficult things simple and shows their importance. How's that? So when you look at the Bible and you read it and you take it in, like I had to do for this passage, you ask God to show you simply what it means and how to apply it. Okay, so I'm expounding this morning. Okay? So, this morning, we're discovering that God moves to make people what they need to be and who they are. Now, let me just ask you to do something. Are you scared? No. Right. Turn to the person next to you or behind you or in front of you and say, you are a new creation. Go on. Well, that was an interesting experience, wasn't it? But you see, it's true. You are a new creation, just like him. Now, you may not have been, executioner. Not many of those around. Destroyer, persecutor. There are some Christians who were that once. And God had the grace and the love for them to introduce somebody into their lives that brought the transformation in that way. Okay, let's move to the second thing then. Jewish confrontation, the inevitable consequence. Well, of course it is, isn't it? If you've suddenly changed, people don't know what to make of you. It wasn't like that for me. See, Bernard and I were brought up in a Christian family. And we were able to move about among Christians. That was natural for us. But it wasn't natural for all of you, was it, here? In situation, I remember you at school, so just you watch it. We won't say anything today, John, shall we? Oh, you won't say anything about me either, will you? No, we were in the same class in Stimson Avenue Junior School, and then the boys' school, as it now is known, Northampton Town and County Grammar, rather. And it was interesting to see how John changed. He'll tell you about it. If you haven't heard his story, you ought to. It's never too late to keep giving your testimony, John, because it brings glory to God, doesn't it? That's the thing. And it asks questions from other people as well. So, when people become Christians, they can feel persecution as a result of that. And of course, that traitor, that Saul, who's given us so much trouble, it's intolerable. He shows us up in debates. Don't like that. He shows us up in the way he treats people. Quite a different man. Once we could respect him. Now, let's get rid of him. Well, that was the story, wasn't it, as we read it this morning. They wanted to get rid of him. Take him off the face of the earth. He was a traitor, demanding death. But, next, second, he was a brother deserving help. This is where we come to family, isn't it? You see, when Andy went to Austria, he needed help, didn't he? Well, he went to the family first. First to father, then to wife. And you know, it worked out. Why? Because relationship brings response, right? And in a church that's a family, relationship calls for response. Noticing. You know, well, we'll talk about Barnabas in a minute. Let's press on with this. What did they do to save their brother? Well, it reminds me of a story in the Old Testament. You remember the spies that went into the Promised Land and they had to take refuge in a prostitute's house, Rahab. And when they tried to get hold of them, the local men in the city, she put him over the wall and let them down. They did that with Paul as well. You see, city walls are very great barriers, but they're also great opportunities for escapers if you've got the rope. And the kit that was required, you didn't have to ask Michael Nice for it. He'd got it already. They'd got rope and a basket, and they let him down, and he escaped their clutches. They tried to kill him in Jerusalem later, but the church whisked him away and he was fine as a result. So there are many ways in which we can come alongside each other in church life, and all of them are good when it's done for the Lord. Third thing, fellowship in devotion. Because he wanted to meet with the other disciples in Jerusalem. And so he moves all the way again from Damascus right down to Jerusalem. He really wants to get to the heart of the church. Not to tear it out, but to be a part of the beating heart of church life. Is that what you want? To be part of the beating heart of church life. You see, a heart never stops beating until God stops. If you want to be a beating heart of the beating heart of church life, you need to take every opportunity to be there whenever possible, and therefore be able to contribute to that warmth that's pumped around the body. Okay, so confrontation, but escape. Next thing, what happened next? Oh yes, here he comes, my favourite character in the Bible, apart from the Lord. Barnabas means son of encouragement. What about the welcome team? They're encouragers, standing on the door. They have smiles on their faces. Good gracious, Christians are happy people. It makes you want to, have a chat, share a problem. You know, it's more than just being there to say hello, those of you on the welcome team. You're there representing the church family with God the Father to bring the person who's on the door, especially if they're visitors, into a place where they feel accepted. Because that's what Jesus did. I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I'm fathered by the true and living God. That's how people would respond to a community that was warm. So, first of all then, new converts need encouragement, right? Who encouraged you when you were a new Christian, I wonder? Just cast your mind back. Was there anybody who sort of took you under their wing and helped you? May have been a pastor, may have been somebody your own age. I had the privilege of doing that with my friend Jeff when we were at school together. Jeff Rushman. And yes. So let me ask a question then. If you can't preach, can you listen to somebody? Can you? And can you just ask them gently how things are? Because that's the way that people are built up in the faith, bit by bit. I was thrilled to see the youngsters who went off to Cape and Ray. What are we doing as a church to prepare young people for ministry? We're talking about bringing younger men in, and we need them. But at the same time, younger people need drawing on. Yeah? That's the way things go. And for as far as Barnabas was concerned, he got alongside Paul, and they were lifelong friends. Why? Because Barnabas gave time to him. And Saul became Paul because of that. And so when he goes up to Jerusalem, wow, same response as in Damascus. Good grief. It can't be. Oh yes, it is. It's Saul the destroyer, who's now Paul the disciple, who's come. And he wants to learn from the apostles what he can about Jesus that he hasn't been able to glean in his short time. Actually, just to fill in a gap in this story, he was 3 years, we're told in Galatians, he was 3 years in the desert studying the scriptures. Yeah, we need time out to study. Andy needs it. Keeps on refreshing. Our Rhoda is up in Derby doing a theological course over this weekend. Why? Because she wants to serve God better. And I want to tell you something, because they're not here this morning. Nigel and Sue did the Barnabas on our Rhoda when Nigel and Sue ran a youth club in town, Christians, our kids went and they looked after them and they taught them the scriptures and practical matters as well, because you need both. And as a result of that, Rhoda's going to be serving God in that sort of ministry full time. So, you know, God's got plans. He may have plans for you you don't know about. You don't retire in the Christian life, you know, Christine. We know, don't we, that there is opportunity, and it's wonderful to be able to serve him. Okay, so suspicion was dispersed by Barnabas' testimony. He brought him in and said, "This man has met the Lord." And they received him, and again, they had to help him, as I mentioned earlier. And his boldness was seen by the conviction with which he spoke. When you speak to people about the Lord Jesus, we need to be very gentle, but we don't have to be timid. Gentleness and timidness are not the same thing. You can be gentle, but not timid. You can be quietly forceful with what you believe. Not to hit people over the head, but to actually give them the conviction that they need. So, Barnabas did the introduction, but we see him time after time. You watch out for Barnabas as we go through the Acts of the Apostles. Right. Now then, finally, the last part, the church's expansion. Let's just read that last verse, because in the excitement of Paul, you may miss this important verse, 31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. Oh, that were so in Burma, Myanmar, and China, and Korea. But God still works. It was strengthened and encouraged, how? By the Holy Spirit, the acts of the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Not in the terror of the Lord, or the terror of Saul, the persecutor, but in the fear, the loving strength of the Lord. And who was doing that? Let's have a look. God's intervention had brought peace to the area through Saul being removed, and those who looked to him as a mentor for the future and their activity in the present. But it was the Holy Spirit who brought the increase. That's the only way in which people who come on the course will come to know Jesus. The Bible will be opened, testimonies will be given, but it will be the Holy Spirit. We need to pray. He will convict. He will convict and then convert. Yes? And who were these people who were doing this job? You lot. Us. The church family. There's no names here, are there, in this verse? None at all. Why not? Because they were all at it. You know what I mean? I mean, they were at the evangelization process. And the church grew in numbers and strength. Hey, wouldn't it be good in 3 years' time to see this whole pact? Wow. And how does it happen? By the Holy Spirit. That's how it happens. And by you and me So as we look at this, the Lord Jesus has brought changes into the lives of so many people, including you and me. It's not just historical, it's current. And it always will be current. So as we walk away from this particular aspect of the Acts of the Apostles, what's God been saying to you? Will you come back next week, if the Lord hasn't returned? Will you come back next week wanting more? Well, if the Holy Spirit's at work, He will, because that's how we grow as Christians. Let's pray, shall we? Our loving Heavenly Father, all glory be to You for the works that You've done in our lives. Praise You, Lord, for the work You did in Saul's life, that he might become the apostle to the Gentiles. Thank You, Lord, for those who are serving You now in the Middle East, in the Far East, in London, in Birmingham, in Northampton. Lord, we long that we might see You at work more and more. So, Lord, in this time of peace, help us to be at work for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the Lord bless you.